Imagine India was like a student who was appearing in many competitive examinations. India under Narendra Modi in 2021. And this was a season in which the results were coming in. It would then be reasonable to say that this has been a particularly bad season, that results have been consistently bad. What are these exams we are talking about? The competition. These competitions are global rankings on many scales. And we have mentioned to you that on many of these, and we'll again talk about this in some detail later, say Human Freedom Index, Economic Freedom Index, UNDP's Human Development Index, RSF's Press Freedom Index, Global Hunger Index, on all these indices, India has fallen. Not just that, India's own index, which is the National Family Health Survey, this is the fifth one, results have come out for a limited number of states. India has declined on child nutrition. So add to that a new finding. A new set of results has now come in. This is the prestigious rating that World Economic Forum of Davos fame does every year. And this rating is called WEF's Global Gender Gap Report. This is the Global Gender Gap Report 2021. In this, India's fall, unfortunately, has been quite precipitous. It has been by 28 positions in a group of 156 countries which have been surveyed. So it's a fall. 28, that is from 112, it wasn't a great position, but 112, yes, it was there. 112 to 140 is a very steep fall. It's also not a pleasing thing. Now, I know that usual whataboutery, etc., will come out, but I will also explain to you how this ranking is arrived at and whether we need to look within, we need to introspect, and certainly we need to introspect. Ye jisko hum Hindi mein kehte hain, apne gireban mein jhaank ke bhi dekhna chahiye. What is it that we are doing wrong? We have to look at these things now with a clean heart, not without any bias. So what this shows is that in the subcontinent itself has been a poor performer across the world. Although the subcontinent has a lot of the world's population, but the subcontinent is the poorest performer in the world when you go region by region. But before we go there, we will tell you how these rankings are arrived at. So these rankings look at four sub-indices or four parameters, four broad parameters. These parameters are number one, economic participation and opportunity, number two, educational attainment and opportunity, literacy, etc., number three, health and survival, and number four, political empowerment. Now you have to see how has the world done on each one of these and how has India done, India's region done on each one of these. Now I will tell you how India has lost 28 positions this time. This is a very steep fall. Pakistan, for example, is behind India. Thank you for being there, Pakistan, because at least it makes us feel less worse, because all our other neighbors are doing better than us. Nepal, Bangladesh is 65. Just think about it. And we've made it a habit to keep complaining about Bangladesh, to keep talking of Bangladeshis in an insulting or a demeaning manner. But they are 65, we are 140. This is a matter of embarrassment for us nationally. So, okay, Pakistan is 152, we feel very good about it. That's the reason I said thank you for being there, Pakistan. Because Sri Lanka, Nepal is 106, they are all ahead of India. Now, where has India slipped? If you look at India, India's overall closing of the gap is 62.5%. How is that arrived at? A country is supposed to have filled all the gaps once you fill the gap to the extent of 100%. That means you are completely equal. You have total equality of genders. But no country has closed it fully, at least not on all four parameters. So countries that are the highest are the usual suspects. That is Finland, Iceland is the topmost. Iceland, Finland, Norway, New Zealand, everyone's favorite, Jacinda Ardern is there. Sweden, Namibia, Rwanda, Lithuania, Ireland, Switzerland. I have now counted the top 10 for you. These top 10, their gender closing, gap closing ranges from 89.2% in the case of Ireland. I'm using all decimals, I'm not rounding off these figures because this is a very stiff competition, and one minor decimal point, in fact second point after the decimal, can also make a difference of ranking. So Iceland is the topmost, 89.2, Finland 86.1, Norway 84.5, New Zealand 84, and then the 10th is Switzerland, sort of surprisingly. This is the 10th among the tops, that is 79.8%. The pleasant surprise, an interesting surprise there, is that two African countries feature in this list of top 10 for gender equality in the entire world. And these two countries are Namibia, 80.9%, ahead of Switzerland, mind you, and Rwanda, 80.5%, again ahead of Switzerland and Ireland and Lithuania. All this is worth noticing. Lithuania is a very rich Baltic nation, very rich and small Baltic nation. Now, how are these rankings arrived at? So if you say that Iceland has closed the gap by 89.2%, India in comparison this year has closed the gap by 62.5%. That means that WEF then calculates that if this is your overall gap, how many years will it take you to close the gap completely? So hold your breath. In case of India, at the current rate at which we are going, it will take 265 years to close this gap. That's a lot of time. But hopefully it will not happen like that, and I will also tell you the reasons why I might think it will not happen like that, but we'll come to that in a bit. But right now the picture looks quite grim. Now, economic participation and opportunity. India has declined by 3% this year. So from 35.6%, the closing of the gap, India has come to 32.6%. So this gap has increased. On political empowerment, India has declined by 13.5 percentage points. That's a steep decline. So India has gone down from 23.1%, it was already very poor, to 9.1%. This is a shame for a country which is a classical democracy and has fair elections. All this means is that parties themselves are not fielding enough women or giving them enough chance to be in power or to be in politics. Then, if you look at how India has moved, in 2006 when the ranking started, India was 98. Last year, India was 112, as I told you. Now it is 140. Now you might say that 2006, when you were 98, the world had fewer countries and there were fewer countries featured. So let's take that into account. But still the fact is that in 15 years, we have fallen badly instead of rising. And in the last few years, we have fallen much too steeply. And this year has been a very big setback, which is worth thinking about. Now, also, I will mention to you areas in which India does particularly badly or well. If you look at economic participation, and when I say badly, I usually would mean areas where India's ranking is worse than India's overall ranking. So economic participation opportunity for women, India is 151, while its overall ranking is 140. Health and survival, India is 155. That health and survival for women compared to men. Although advances have been made there, but India's ranking still is 155. So these are things that are dragging India down. On political empowerment, India's ranking may be a little bit higher than its global ranking. Global ranking being 140, on political empowerment, it is 132. So it's a bit higher, but again, given the fact that India is among the classical democracies of the world, which is not a lot of countries in the world, India could have done a lot better on this. So first of all, I told you on economic participation and political empowerment how India has slipped. Labor force participation for women, India has slipped again, maybe because of the pandemic a little bit, from 24.8% to 22.3%. Every percentage point makes a big difference. It's like getting your cutoffs, matching your cutoffs after your plus two. There is a big difference between 97% and 97.1%. That is what happens in this tough competition as well. Then professional and technical roles for women. Once again, India has declined. Senior managers in India, only 14.6% are women. And we look at top managers, CEOs, it's only 8.9%. Again, there's a decline. Further, estimated earned revenue. For every 5 rupees that men earn in India, women earn only 1. So Indian women's earning compared to men is only 20.7% of what they are earning. That's very poor. This places India in terms of wage equality or earnings equality or earnings gap or wage inequality among the 10 lowermost countries in the world, the 10 bottom countries in the world, not good at all. So if you look at health and survival index, you will say 93.7 for India looks good, but no, it's not good. It's actually quite bad. It puts India in the bottom 5 of the world, because this means that women in India have about 6.3% less chance of surviving or getting healthcare, etc., compared to men. That in the area of healthcare is a big gap. Many countries have closed this completely. So I told you, this is like missing your cutoff by 0.1%. In this case, you are missing it by several percentage points. You are in the bottom 5, and you can convert this into percentiles. If you are smart at that, I am not. Then you come to the reason why this has happened. One reason is sex selection. So there is a lot of sex selection, and that's why the percentage of females at birth is lower. Second, 1 in 4 Indian women, according to this survey, have faced intimate violence in their lives. That doesn't help your country's reputation, or that doesn't help your country's rankings. Then areas in which India has done very well, and I told you there are reasons why I think this gap will not take 250 or 2300 or 500 years closing, it will close much faster. That in primary, secondary and tertiary education, India has done brilliantly. India is almost at the same level as the number one countries in the world. So that is a spectacular performance on enrollment. Literacy is not so good. India has twice as many women who are illiterate as percentage compared to men. So 34.2% of women in India are still illiterate, unfortunately, whereas 17.6% of the men are illiterate. Both figures are unfortunate, but twice as many women are illiterate as compared to men. So that is some area in which India has to work. Now, I told you that if you see the rankings in this subcontinent, we have to be grateful to Pakistan because they make us feel less worse, or they make us feel at least smarter than Pakistan. If we declare that victory, bug is up kaam ho gaya. But thoda we should also look east, we should look south, we should look north, and then hold the mirror and see how does our face look there. Picture doesn't look nice. If you look at Bangladesh, I told you Bangladesh's rank is 65, Nepal is 106, Bhutan is 130, Sri Lanka is 116, though I am surprised. I would have expected Sri Lanka to do much better because Sri Lanka has very good human development indicators. But for some reason, Sri Lanka has 116. Pakistan is 153. Fantastic. Thank you, Pakistan. And Afghanistan is 156. But Afghanistan, you know, the kind of situation Afghanistan is coming from. It's a war-torn country. Most of it is ruled by warlords or the Taliban or the really bad guys. And you worry about Afghanistan. What will happen if the Americans cut their losses and leave? Everybody cuts their losses and leave. And this country is left again to the Taliban and endless civil wars. If you say the regions, I told you South Asia is the poorest. So South Asia, the closing of the gap is by 62.3%. India is 62.5, so just a little bit above par in South Asia. Bangladesh has closed it to the extent of 71.9%. That's why they are number 65 in the world. They are way ahead of us. Afghanistan is at the bottom in South Asia. It's 44.4, but Afghanistan has special circumstances. Last year, India's case, for example, was 66.8. From 66.8, India this year has fallen to 62.5, which is a terrible news. Now, globally, given the gap that still exists, this survey thinks that the gap, the time taken for closing of the gap has increased by one generation. What does it mean? If you last year's figure showed, according to this calculation, that the world would have taken 99.5 years to fill this gap. Now it looks like the world will take 135.6 years to fill this gap. Now you will ask me that I said why I think that in case of India the gap may be filled faster. Because one thing that's happening, and in some ways it applies to the rest of the world also, because one parameter or one sub-index on which most countries are making big progress is educational opportunity and attainment. And that's where India has done very well also. Then maybe education, because it has now moved on almost to a level of equality, is the first step towards political empowerment, towards economic empowerment. And so education will now fast forward some of these other processes. So these estimates, and we are also hoping there is some wishful thinking in this, these estimates prove to be more pessimistic than they need to be. Now, if you look at the global situation, if you look at political empowerment, that is the biggest gap globally. It's only filled 22%. It has declined this year by 2.4%. If you look at all the 156 countries in the world, a lot of which are democracies, of the 35,500 parliamentarians, only 26.1% are women. That is about 1 in 4 are women. That is not good at all. Similarly, of the about 3,400 ministers or minister rank empowered people in the whole world, all of the 156 countries, only 22.6% are women. So again, the gap is very large, and this survey thinks that to bridge this political gender gap will take the world more than 145 years. Similarly, if you look at economic participation and opportunity, so the gap has increased just a little globally this year. It's at 58%. The gap has increased just a little. And once again, World Economic Forum thinks that the world will take 267 years to bridge this gap. But once again, we have to look at the part of the glass that's half full. Education gap is nearly closed, because education gap is nearly close to up to 95% in the world. It's a matter of time. In fact, it's estimated to be 14 years, but maybe even less, when it would have closed fully. And once again, if we apply the same logic, that education, equality in education is the first step towards equality for economic opportunity and for political power and opportunity. And similarly, health and survival is also improving radically across the world. So if all this happens, then you can hope and you can believe that this gap will be filled faster. Now, I know the reactions to this. Reactions to this will be, this is a foreign foundation, everybody is against India, door hato hai duniya walo, Hindustan hamara hai, hum to apni khud ki rankings banayenge, because rankings across the board have looked bad. So I mentioned those, but I will also remind you of how bad they've been. Human Freedom Index, we are down from 94 to 111, that is down 17 slots, bad. Economic Freedom Index, down from 79 to 105, that is down 26, that's worse. UNDP, Human Development Index, down from 129 to 131, whereas we had been improving a little bit every year, terrible. Press Freedom Index, down from 140 to 142, I think 140 also is unfair to India, but still for India to decline makes it even worse. Global Hunger Index, down from 94 to 102. And as we have explained many times, Global Hunger Index is not on how hungry you are. Are you going to sleep on an empty belly or not? It is more linked to nutrition. And this is then further tallied with the National Family Health Survey data that tells you that for the first time in 20 years, since 1998-99, for the first time, India has reversed the improvement in its child nutrition status. That is Government of India's own official survey. So there is something wrong there. Now, I know that the opposition to this is, oh, who are these guys who give you Human Freedom Index? this is Freedom House, it's 94%, 95% or whatever percent US government funded. It could be 110% US government funded. But look at the methodology. When the same index gave you higher rankings, we celebrated. When any of the global foundations gives us higher ranking, we celebrate. Some Kotler award, which we know nothing about before or after, we celebrate. Some award by some firm called CERA, it's an oil and energy firm, consultancy firm, advisory based in Boston. That gives an award to Narendra Modi, we celebrate. So foreign countries are not out to get at India with a hatchet. They don't want to bury one giant hatchet into India's back. But they look at the whole world. So the same Freedom House Index, which has given India a lower ranking on Human Freedom Index this year, lowered by 17, has also lowered America substantially this year. So what if it's American government funded? Second to say, oh, it's American government funded. Who's America? This is not 1972. America is not the foreign hand. America is not an enemy of India. America is a close, Mr. Narendra Modi's words, before that Manmohan Singh's word, before that Vajpayee's words, America is a natural strategic ally of India. With America, we are members in the Quad, balancing China in Indian Ocean, and now also looking at Pacific. We are part of the Indo-Pacific construct. America is our most important friend in the world. So this whole idea from Indira Gandhi's days, ki sab humare khilaaf hai, and Americans in particular, and anybody who's critical of our government is an American agent, is nonsensical. Similarly, if you look at World Economic Forum, World Economic Forum has been patronizing Narendra Modi. Yes, in the past, they had disinvited him when he was Chief Minister of Gujarat, when UPA was in power, but Narendra Modi has gone and spoken there. After that, he's spoken at their virtual annual conference as well. And now Modi government patronizes World Economic Forum, has very good relations. There is no reason for World Economic Forum to doctor a prestigious report to make India look bad. That's why I say that we have to keep looking at the mirror. Now I see we tend to get very defensive and very prickly. Frankly, if at least the Pakistanis were not doing worse than us, I don't know how much more rotten we would feel. But we feel rotten, but instead of introspecting, we start looking for ulterior motives. And then another idea came up that India will now start its own ratings. Now the world is laughing at us if we say that we will not accept global ratings. We'll only accept them when they say good things to us. But we will have our own ratings. That's a bit like you became your own examiner and started assessing your own news, your own papers in the exam. So I will tell you something that my late father used to say in similar situations. He used to say, "Jo main headmaster hota to number 100 mein 100 deta." If I was the headmaster, I would have given myself 100 out of 100 anyway. And then he says, "Liyakat ke, sharafat ke, nazakat ke, alag deta." And after giving myself 100 out of 100, I would have given myself bonus marks for my talent, for my style, and for my great, pristine character as well. So that was a joke. Nobody can be a judge in his own case. No country can be a judge in its own rankings. So look at the message that you are getting from these ratings. Something has gone wrong that needs correction, and that correction cannot be provided by setting up an Indian system of ratings on these various parameters. Countries like North Korea do those things, not self-respecting, aspiring big powers like India.